Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome on to AANBC Radio. I am your host, Ms. Anna Black, and I'm happy to be back. Been off for a couple weeks, haven't been on the show for a few episodes. I had to rearrange my schedule, you guys, and change my show dates because now Miss Anna Black has a full-time regular job, which I hadn't had in like over 4 years. So it's a real adjustment. But, you know, this is the way it is. So I ended up having to switch my schedule around to make my shows to air on Mondays and Thursdays now. It was a little hard, you know, but I'm glad I was able to find a way to get the show back on the air. Tonight we're going to spend some time talking to two young ladies about their books and their works. First up, we're going to have Miss Shan Bevel. She's going to come on and talk about her works. And then later on in the hour, we're going to hang out with Miss Joycey Bellinger. I'm excited because, of course, I've been off air for a few weeks, so, and I hate that because you normally kind of lose your audience when they don't hear from you too often, but I hope those who always listen, tune in tonight. Miss Shan Bevel, very happy to have her tonight because we had a couple mix-up with getting her scheduled. So that's why we're going to leave with her starting off the first half hour of the show. And always my apologies because things do happen, things come up, a little miscommunication, and I'll say it's all on my fault, not my guest, because I have to be responsible and make it happen. So I'm taking full blame, but I'm glad that we can get Ms. Bevel on tonight. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and introduce Ms. Bevel and let her come on and introduce herself. So, Shan, if you can hear me, just say hello and tell everybody how you're doing tonight.
I'm doing great. Again, my name is Shan Bevel, and like you said, a couple of things happened, and I wasn't able to get on, but it really doesn't matter. I'm just so glad that you were able to fit me in tonight. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. It's a pleasure. I'm glad that you can hang out with us. And I'm anxious to get to know you, not as just an author, but as a person. Here at AAMBC, we do take time out to get a little background on our writers and our guests. You know, more so than a writer, you want to know a little about the personal you. Like, where are you from? Are you married? Have children? Little stuff you want to brag about, because I am a proud mother and I am a proud wife. So I like to brag on those things. So before we get into the author, Bevel, you said? I want to make
sure
I pronounce it right. Bevel.
Uh-huh. You got it right.
Before we get into the author, Shan Bevel, let's talk about the person that you were before you actually started writing books and where you actually came from and a little bit of history and background of yourself.
Well, originally I'm actually from the Bronx, New York, born and raised. And college years, I actually moved out to Virginia, Norfolk, Virginia, and I now live in Virginia Beach. And I'm single, and I don't have any children. What else kind of sort of is going on? I'm actually a full-time teacher, so when you say you're back to working full-time and you had your 4 years,
girl,
you weren't.
It hurts. It hurts so bad.
Trust me, I know, and I'm feeling it, so trust me, I understand. Which is so funny because people, you know, this is a lesson for me too. People think that most authors, you know, do this full time, but many, many authors have, you know, full time jobs. So I'm actually a teacher, and I've been a teacher over the last 6 years, and I teach middle school science, actually. When I say middle school, everybody's eyes opens up so wide, but I love it. I love middle school kids because it's like my opportunity to kind of change them and get them ready for, you know, what's soon to come. So I kind of like being at that point. So I've been doing that for quite a while. I'm in school right now for my EDS in education, and I already have my master's in education. So that's basically that part of it. And I've been writing really since I was about 7. I started out with just poetry. And I've self-published a poetry chapbook, and the book that we're talking about today is my first published fiction book. Writing is, of course, my true love and always has been, and that's something I've been doing, like even just something I could do on the side just to make me happy. I never knew it was going to basically take this route, but I'm thankful, and I'm loving every step of it, so... That's me in a nutshell.
I want to go back to say I do congratulate you. Hats off to you because my daughter is 14. She just turned 14 in April, and she just graduated on Thursday from 8th grade.
Aww.
So so I'm like, all I have to deal with is one middle schooler. You know, my son, he's going to be a junior. You know, my son is older, a little bit more mature. You know, he's 16. He's going to be a junior. But my baby girl is that middle school who, you know, she's in a transition to high school. So you have a lot of patience.
And it's so funny because you really don't know. It's, you know, a lot of people, you know, when they grow up, they're like, I'm going to be a teacher. You have no idea what it is once you get in it. I mean, and it's not for everybody. Teaching is a calling on your life, and you have a purpose that's bigger than just teaching the content that's in the book. It's far beyond that. So, I mean.
Yeah, because I know. Because you deal with so many things even when you have a child. You deal with their home situations, what they're going through with relatives. So, hands off to you.
Thank you.
Definitely hands
thank you,
off
thank
to
you
because it's not for everybody. I can do it. I love my own children. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for them every day. But I can't deal
right.
with other folks' kids.
Trust me. And we know that you all are sending us the best that you have. So it's okay. You know, and we're happy. I think that most teachers, I mean, because obviously we don't do it for the money. So I think when you say something like that, like thank you and, you know, it's appreciated, I mean, that means more than you can even imagine. I think that's all most of us just want to hear, you know, just that little recognition for that moment. So thank you.
Yeah, and it has to be. And I think everything that we do, it has to be a passion for us to actually enjoy it because every job is not made for every person. Like my cousin and best friend, she's an RN. I told her, I said, I don't care. I can give blood, take blood.
That's right.
So everybody has a job that's set up for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with you transitioning over to saying, okay, I understand that you grew up and you love to write. What made you decide to say, okay, I'm going to sit down and write something I want to publish? Was that always your intent or you, what was your motivation to actually finally publish your work is the question.
You know, this was actually my first published book, but I have another manuscript that's unpublished. So it really started with, I would say, that book more so. And the poetry, actually, you know what? The poetry book and the first one that's unpublished, it's pretty much the same story. I started writing, and honest to goodness, one page just went into another page, and I just challenged myself to see, well, wait a minute. Can you actually, you know, write an entire book? I had no idea, you know, what I was capable of. And what's so funny is it just wasn't planned. It just honestly happened. The poetry book, I just wrote poems. When I finished, I actually was able to arrange them into a collection that really worked. I didn't write this poem saying, okay, after this poem, I'm going to write a poem about love. Okay, now I'm going to write about heartbreak. And now it's really honestly not how it happened. I just wrote from my heart, and it was the same with my first manuscript. I was working in a call center, you know, after school kind of thing, and we would just have this little time period between phone calls. And I just started writing, you know, it used to help me pass the time. It made my time there just so much faster and easier because it was customer service, which is another story in itself. But, you know, it was just one page after another page. And, I mean, it just developed into, you know, this story. I never know, you know, where it's going to end. My hands just, they just go. And I just, like I said, I write from my heart. And then the next thing I know, it's done. But I mean that one.
So what made?
So
what made you decide to actually self-publish then versus seeking a traditional publisher? Because everybody has their method or their way, and I always have to ask because a lot of times we have listeners that tune in that aspiring authors don't know which direction to go. So what made you sit down and say, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and do this myself"? Versus going through an Indigo company or a major publishing house or a print-on-demand company, what was your motivation to say, I'm going to do it for myself?
Right. When I finished the poetry book, I found out, and I didn't know when I first started, but anybody who's going through the process, I'm sure that they have researched beyond belief. And, I mean, I just went on the Internet and just research about, you know, how can I publish a poetry book, you know, and I had found out that it was very difficult, you know, to find a publisher for poetry. It was so crazy because, you know, they tell you, you know, different agents tell you the type of works that they are, different genres that they're interested in, and it would always say, no poetry. No poetry, no poetry. And, I mean, it was just like, I didn't understand that when I wrote it. You know, I'm thinking, you know, any kind of genre is easy to get published, you know. So when I kept reading that, I was kind of let down because here it was, I had this, and it was a chapbook. And, I mean, I was like, okay, here it is. It's finished. I love it, you know, and I'm ready to submit it. But I couldn't find anyone that was willing to look at poetry. And I didn't want to just put it away. I had put a lot of work into it, and I wanted to share it. So then I just started researching self-publishing. And I thought that if I would self-publish it, it would give me some foundation for when I decided to write my next book, that I could say, you know what, maybe could you think about publishing this book, because this is what I did with this one, and I believed in it. It's hard for you to go to an agent or go to a publisher and say, here, you know, publish me, and you haven't done any legwork yourself. So I thought that gave me some substance the second time around when I tried to get the next book published. So it was kind of like research and learning a little bit more about what people actually wanted.
Right. So Therapy for the Soul's Pain is the title of your poetry book. How did you come up with that title? I'm thinking, like, Therapy for the Soul's Pain. I'm like, okay, am I supposed to feel good when I get to reading this book? What made you, you know, I'm just asking what readers would want to ask. So what made you come up with the title?
The title was actually the last part that I came up with because, like I said earlier, I just wrote a bunch of poems, just a bunch of poems that actually wind up connecting. The reason why I gave it that title was because it takes you through a series of therapy. It's a bunch of therapy where it shows you, or it takes you from the beginning, whereas when you might be in pain or where you're hurting, the things we go through, the challenges, the obstacles, and the different stages. The last part of the book is, it kind of ends on the higher end, is your victory, how you overcome all of those things and how you will feel better once you tackle it. And it kind of lets you know that you're not alone in those obstacles. So the therapy part of it is, you come with your problems, but you leave with your solutions. So you feel a lot better just to kind of let it out.
Right. So in this book with your poems, give me the total. What's the number of poems in this book?
That book actually had over about 40 poems, I believe.
Wow. So I hope everybody's listening. Over 40 poems is something that you might want to look forward to, because not many poetry books offer you that amount. You get some poetry books, maybe 15 to 20 poems in it, but to get one with that flow. So it's all the topics. Tell me, give me different topics that relates to the poems that's inside this read.
Of course, in the book, it talks about, one of the topics, of course, would be heartbreak. I also have one dealing with physical abuse, where women might be kind of dealing with that type of issue. I have the issues of a woman feeling like, especially for more cultural type women, I talked about being shapely, being a challenge. I talk about beauty is another one. Racism. I have that in there, dealing with that. And racism specifically in a workplace is that particular poem. I even have a cute one about, well, it's not that cute, but it's true, how your birthday comes in. You know, like you're so happy for your birthday and you're all excited, and then you realize, wait a minute, this year was just like the last year. You know, where am I at now? You know, what's to come? I have a poem about that. So it's a bunch of different things that we go through every day that people don't want to talk about because you feel like you're alone, but you're really not.
So is any of your works inspired by personal experiences or something that you may experience or somewhere, someone close to you? Because I ask this question only because I write fiction, And when I write fiction, I just write what comes to me. And it's not that it's a personal experience. It's just something my brain just drum up. So is the majority of this work through personal or things that you've dealt with yourself or close friend or something, or everything is just something that came to you that needs to be discussed?
It's very similar to what you just said. It's just crazy. I'll just sit down and I'll just start writing. And when I read it back, if it's that type of poem, I'm crying as if it is my story, but it's not. And it's not even anybody that's close to me. But it's things that, you know, I just think people go through. But it didn't have any foundation, like to say, oh, yeah, this, you know, I remember when this happened to me, or, you know, when Susie Q told me that story. Nothing like that. It was just off, you know, off the top of my head and straight from my heart without even knowing. But what's so funny about it is I've talked to people, you know, people who have read it, and they tell me which poems they really connected to. So it's like it speaks to certain people that I know without me even knowing that was their story. That's what's crazy about it.
Right. So in your since this is actually your first published release, I know you have other stuff in the works. Are you working on now another genre, or are you working on something besides poetry? Because a lot of writers, and I, you know what, I do honestly respect poets, because everybody can't do poetry. Trust me.
Right.
I've been there, done that. I've done some poetry that I would not share in any printed format at all.
Okay.
But it's like, exactly. I didn't have things come to me that I didn't wrote down some stanzas, but it's not, to me, in my opinion, published worthy. So, but I know I'm a novelist. I know I can write love stories. I am a romance guru. So do you have any other genres that you want to get into, or you like you can actually produce, or are you working on something else?
And it's funny you say that because, well, right now my genre is women's fiction, and I feel very comfortable with that. I tried to dabble in romance, and I'm laughing because kind of like what you said about poetry, that it just didn't feel natural for me. I just felt like I was like, okay, and he held her. And then I'm like, okay, I'm really forcing this. I'm like, this is really not working out. And I'm like, okay, how many ways? Because I'm thinking, I'm really a true romantic at heart. So I'm thinking, oh, this should be so easy. And, you know, and no, it's really not easy at all. And then when I tried to put it together, even a short story, that was just too much work. It didn't flow the way just women's fiction is for me. So, I mean, I wish I could do romance. I really do, but I can't.
But, you know, you can't say you can't, because the thing is, this is my thing. And it's just a word of advice, because I don't want you to never think that you cannot produce. It may not be the traditional romance, because I don't write traditional romance. I don't write that fantasy romance when her hair is flowing.
Yeah, fantasy, right.
I can't do it because my brain can't even muster up. I write romance stories based on real situations where people really break up, where somebody really throws something, somebody really want to punch you in the face. You know, I write about the real love stories. So it doesn't have to be mushy to be romance. But a love story is always, the bottom line is, a boy meets girl, boy and girl fall in love, boy and girl has problems, boy and girl maybe or maybe not work it out. That's romance. So if you can cover that canvas, you good. It don't have to be mushy, or it don't have to be all that sentiment. That's that sappy romance.
You're right. It's not that hard. I get it.
Yeah, don't limit yourself, because if you read any Anna Black book, I write romance, but I don't my characters are regular women. They're 12 and above. You know, they're not the size 3 that's on the treadmill every day. They're regular everyday women that have love relationships problems. So romance don't have to be sappy, so you can write some romance.
So let's just say I got some work to do.
Exactly.
I got some work to do, okay?
Well, my next question, I got to ask my next question, because I always ask this for ours because I'm nosy. And I think it's because I'm really nosy. I just want to be inside your brain. When you actually pick up a book to read, if you choose a book to say I want to sit down and read, what is your favorite genre?
It's women's fiction. It's hands down, it's women's fiction. I love drama. That's just me.
Love drama.
I love drama. I'm like, oh, that's good right there. I love that. I love a book where a woman is just doing her thing and she's in control. And I like a book when it's honest about what women go through. I don't like anybody sugarcoating it. Women go through some things and we come out the victor. And I like books that do that. And I mean, so for me, women's fiction is what I always love.
Okay. Well, time is like winding down. I have a few callers in the queue. And real quick, Sham, I just want to open up some lines just to make sure that nobody have a question for you. Because if they do, I don't want to miss the opportunity. So I'm going to open up area code 225-315 is the first, is the prefix of the number. Do you have any questions or are you just listening in? See, sometimes I get shy. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'm going to open up area code 225-335 is the first three digits. This is Anna. Are you calling in for a question or do you just want to listen in? Okay, another shy one. Okay, area code 337, prefix is 309. State your name, where you're calling from, if you want to speak or are you just listening? Wow, nobody said anything tonight. That's so surprising. Okay, moving on to area code 618. The first three digits is 444. Are you calling in to listen in, or do you have a question for our guest? Wow. This hurts my feelings.
They're scaring me. What did I do? What did I do?
Okay. Lastly, we have Ms. 225, well, Mr. or Ms. 225-937. You're on the air. Are you calling in just to listen in, or do you have a question?
I'm calling in just to listen and that's it.
Okay. See, that's all them areas I called out. That's all you had to say. See, thank you so
thank
much,
you
Ms. 225. You are not shy. You just said what you called for. So we understand. Thank you so much, babe. Where are you calling from and what's your name?
I'm calling from Gonzales, Louisiana. And my name is Becky Belanger.
Thank you so much, Becky. See how easy it was. We thank all of our guests for calling in and tuning in tonight. We just want to give you an opportunity to voice your opinion or ask a question. So if I open your line and call out your area code and prefix, it's only because I want to give you an opportunity to say what you feel or ask a question because you are on. But we're going to get back to Ms. Bavel. Right now, we only have a couple more minutes before we move on to our second guest. I just want to ask you, what's in the works for what's coming up next? Do you have any new books to come out? And real quick, I know I'm going to run over like a couple of minutes, but if you want to recite one of your poems from the book, if you want to pick one of your favorites, so we can give our listeners a preview of what they can expect to. Read when they open up the book, you can. That's your option. And then we'll move on to get your contact information and get to know if you have any upcoming events where readers can come out and greet and meet you.
Okay. Well, actually, if it's my choice, I actually would like to maybe read an excerpt from my current book, which is Today I Married My Best Friend Myself, which is currently available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I'm reading an excerpt which basically focuses on the main character of the book, which is Talia Sands. It says, Talia did not know that the proposals would stop. No one ever told her that she would lose her wow factor. If she would have known, she would have accepted Caden's proposal. He was definitely the one. She just wasn't ready at that time. Now she was ready for marriage, but her current boyfriend didn't seem to have the word in his vocabulary. And this time, she didn't have anyone waiting in line to be next. He seemed to be the last of the Mohicans. Just because a woman does not have any other male options, does she have to settle? Talia had been dating Abel for 5 years. When was he going to propose? Talia was still the same person that all the other men seemed to love. She was still the same woman that they all wanted to marry. There wasn't anything that she hadn't done with or for him. Although she had always planned for her career to come first, she learned there was more to life. She wanted to come home every night to someone who promised to always love her. She was tired of having an empty bed unless Abel wanted to come over for a pitiful quickie. She wanted more from life. She knew her plan to become partner at her firm was taking a little longer than expected, but she knew it would eventually happen. But this marriage thing, not so much. And that comes from Today I Married My Best Friend, Myself.
And so that's the thing. You know what? I was so focused on your poetry book that I didn't even realize. Now I'm on Amazon. I'm like, wait a minute. Hold on. I didn't get my notes right. Someone didn't tell me all this.
Okay.
Real briefly, and I want Dorsey to hang on, because Dorsey, if the show goes over, baby, I'm going to have time for you. Don't worry, you're going to get your time. So tell me, you got to tell me about this book. Give us the real synopsis of the book, because you just read the excerpt. So give us the overall synopsis of this book. I see this book just actually came out in February of this year.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
give us a quick synopsis of this book.
A quick synopsis of the book is basically it tells the story of a few different characters. Normally you only use maybe one, two, or three characters, but I have quite a few in the beginning of the story. And it tells the story of most women. It shows how women are, many of them are successful and powerful and intelligent, and basically how women are willing to stand or stay in relationships that are pretty much unhealthy and pretty much a waste of their time. And they do it, though, because they're expecting marriage. They're thinking, I've been in this relationship for 5 and 10 years, so why in the world would I come out of it? So they hang in there because they feel like they've vested their time in the relationship. So these women are waiting for a proposal, and they'll learn that the proposal will never happen. Women find out that you don't make that decision as to when he's going to propose to you. If he wants to do it, he's going to do it. And you probably don't have to wait that long for it to happen. So in this particular book, the main character, the one I was just talking about, Talia Sands, she basically figures out, he's not going to propose. And she decides that she doesn't have to wait. She kind of asks that question, do you have to have a groom in order to be a bride? And she decided that she don't, and she basically marries herself. She gets her own ring, her own dress, ceremony, and just blows it all out and has a good time. And the marriage in itself is her making a commitment of self-love to put herself first for a change.
Wow. See, did not know that. We would have started discussing this book a long time ago. Wow. That sounds very interesting. So those who are listening, it is available on Amazon, you guys, and it's available on Kindle. So you can go ahead and download it on Kindle right away. People, it's only $2.99, so make sure you go ahead and hit that book up. Now I'm looking at your picture on Amazon, and she's a very, very beautiful woman. Young woman.
Oh, thank you.
You are. And
thank
you just
you.
Seem like a joy. I mean, just a pleasant spirit.
Aww.
And I wish you so much success.
Thank you.
Before we move on to Ms. Dorsey, I need you to let our readers know where they can contact you, give us your email, your website. Are you on Facebook and all these good outlets? And do you have any upcoming events in your area or anywhere else where people can come out and meet and greet you?
Okay. Currently the best way to stay in contact with me is to follow me on Twitter, and it's @sham_Bavel. And on Twitter, I always post the latest things that are coming up. So I'll have up there when my next blog talk show is going to be, so you can check on there. You can also go to Pulse Pub, that's PULSEPUB.net, and they have a section called Take 10, and you can post questions there as well. And Pulse Pub also has a Facebook page. I'm currently working on my own webpage, so that should be up and running. And anything new that comes up, again, I'll post it on Twitter. If you like to email me, you can email me at shampriest@me.com, and I'll get right back to you. Please download or purchase the book. It's now available, and I'd love to have you as a reader. Thank you, and thank you for having me, and I appreciate it.
You are so, so welcome, and the door is always open.
Thank you.
AANBC has been around now for like the last 4.5 years, going on 5.
Mm-hmm.
So we just we do try to help support and promote all of our African American authors. And people think that, you know, I had some flack before with an email with people like, why you just cater to African American authors? Because, you know, we need the most help. Because
it's rough out here. In case they don't understand, it's rough. It's not the being a black author. They need to think about just basically in a professional world what it's like being a black person, and it's no different being an author. It's to me even worse because I feel like I deal with it on both ends. It's rough out here, so I'm
exactly.
glad that you all do this.
And it's not because we're not, and I want to say again, we're not racist. We don't have anything against anybody else, but we want to create an outlet where we know we can give some exposure to the so-called nameless, because I am one of them still. I'm not a mega author or, you know what I'm saying? So we want to give some type of voice to let you know to get out there and support these up-and-coming authors. Well, we thank you so much, Cham, for joining us. And we want you to come back. We wish you well. And we're going to move over to our a little less than second hour, but we're going to extend it out for Ms. Dorsey. We're not going to cut her short, so don't worry. But thank you so much, Ms. Cham. You have a great evening.
You too. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Right,
well, you guys, we just spent a few moments talking with Ms. Shamprice Bavell. You make sure you guys check out her books. They are on Amazon. You Amazon users for Kindle, so go ahead and check her out. But we're going to go ahead and open up the line now for our next guest, which will be Ms. Okay, we're going to go ahead and open the line for our next guest, Ms. Dorsey Bellinger. Hi, how you doing, Ms. Dorsey?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great, and I'm so sorry we went over a few minutes, but
you will get
all of your time. Don't worry. Don't worry.
I was actually enjoying listening.
We thank you so much for coming on the show tonight, and we are anxious also to get to know you and a little bit about your novel, and get to know you as a person. The questions are generally the same. Every time I bring the second guest on, it's not too much different. I'm going to ask you the same questions only because we want to know the same thing about every author. But before we get into Gems to Cherish for My Daughter, we're going to ask you a little bit about Ms. Dorsey. Give us a little background, a little history of yourself, where you come from, marital status, and all that good blah, 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 blah. So go ahead and give us a little background about yourself.
Okay. My name is Dorsey Bellinger, as you said. I am married. I have 3 children. I have an 11-year-old son, and I have twins that are 5, a boy and a girl. I currently live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I was born here, I would like to say raised, but I've kind of traveled around. I've lived in Atlanta, I lived in California, and made my way back home to Louisiana. So this is my home. Currently, I work as a medical records and analyst at a hospital. I do that full-time. And I'm also the CEO of our publishing company we started, me and my husband, and an author and a jack of all trades.
So you would just say you're doing it all. You just doing whatever you can get your hands on.
Yes. Yes.
So how long have you been writing now? What sparked this writing career? What promoted you to say, okay, I want to write a book? Were you, you know, because some people say, I've been writing since I was 7, as you said, well, like, well, Sham, because me and Sham share the same story. I didn't start writing until I was in my late 20s. So everybody's different. So when did your writing path start?
I've always had a love for writing. I love quotes. Anywhere I see quotes or different sayings, Bible verses, I write them down. You'll see, like, torn pieces of paper. I have collections of paper everywhere. I'm just drawn to them. I guess they were where they were the positive influence. I had something to look up to just looking at these quotes. I didn't write a book until just this past year. I was ill. I almost died, almost stroke, had a stroke with, I had an overdose of steroids. I was sick, had pneumonia, and went to the doctor, and like within a week and a half from each other, and was given an overload of steroids. And so I began thinking, like, what would happen to my daughter? What would she have? What would she have, you know, without me? Of course, we have family that's here, but I was panicking because this happened to me. You know, I have a mother, but she really hasn't been a positive influence. It's a difficult relationship. But the women who I looked up to, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, my aunt, they were deceased. So by the time I became a woman, I didn't have that person to go to ask these questions about self-esteem issues, self-worth, faith, different things of that nature. So I began panicking, like, what would happen to my daughter if I was gone? Like, she would be going through the same thing. So I began putting these quotes together and these different topics, like on self-worth, self-esteem, faith, education, building her character. And I wrote something at the beginning of each chapter and kind of why I compiled the different quotes and Bible verses that went with the topic. So I began doing this for my daughter. So it would be something that she would have, an heirloom, a keepsake that she would have. You know, of course, it's not going to be all the rules or the Bible, you know, but it would be something that she would have to go by. So I began putting it together for her, and then people that I shared my story with and told them about it, said, you need to put it out because there are other people out there who actually need something like this. And so then I began my journey.
Right. So your book is actually more so, I guess, encouragement, or we want to categorize or put in a general as self-help. It's not a full-length novel based on characters and events. It is actually some self-help tools or guides for, like, basically daily bread, right?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. So when you decide to put your work out, what promoted you or prompted you to take the self-publishing route, to start your own publishing venture versus taking time out to scout out different publishing companies or get an agent? What made you decide to go the self-publishing route? Because it's a scary route, you know, especially when you're not, you know, when you're not known, it's a scary route. So what made you decide to take that route?
Well, I had a friend who, she published her first book, a novel, last year. She started a publishing company. I told her about my story and what I was putting together, and she said, you know, like most of our friends do, well, yeah, girl, whenever you complete it, let me know. You know, it sounds great. We'll go ahead and publish it. Well, in the end, when I contacted her, we made appointments and scheduled, and everything just fell through, and I was just waiting. So I said, well, you know, I started praying and saying, well, is this really meant to be? You know, is this something that I really, you know, I started second-guessing myself. You know, well, maybe, you know, maybe this is not what I need to do. So I continued praying about it, and then one day my husband said, well, why don't you just start your own publishing company instead of waiting for someone else? You know, what do we need to do? And so I started to research and look into it. Then my editor, Brandy Randolph, she also said the same thing. Well, yeah, you know, you can start your own publishing company. You can do it. I said, okay. So I prayed more, and I just asked God to lead me in the way I should go. And he put on my heart that, you know, we needed to go ahead and start our own publishing company. And so we started the publishing company and completed the book, and that's it.
And you know, and I'm totally, totally for it because, like, even myself, my actual sixth novel will be out. Oh, wait, hold on, take that back. My seventh novel, I have a total of 5 books out, complete with me, and I have an anthology, which is my sixth novel, is out already. I'm going to release my sixth complete novel next April with my publishing company, which is an Indigo company called Delphine. And I still, myself, after even being on a board of publisher or having my own publisher, I'm still self, like, motivated to self-publish. So I'm 100% with that because you can do it. It's nothing. And I'm just speaking in general to those who are out there listening who may want to consider publishing a book. It's almost practically the way to go nowadays, because sometimes waiting for a traditional company you may be writing for years, you know.
Okay.
So self-publishing is not a bad thing. Self-publishing does not mean that you're getting damaged goods. Self-publishing does not mean that you're not getting quality goods. You know, I have come across some self-published novels that were horrible. I'm not going to lie. That's the truth. But not every self-published author or every self-published person that has a book out that's putting out junk or unedited or not a great product. So people, if you're listening, do not steer away or turn away from self-publishing novels, because there's a lot of good books out there that are self-published that are quality works. So I commend you for taking a stand and say, okay, you know what? This is what I got to do. I got to make it happen my way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This title, Gems to Cherish for My Daughter, how did you come up with that title?
Well, throughout life, I guess this is where I got it from, throughout life we all kind of fill our treasure chest with lots of gems to cherish, you know, be that our sisters, friends, aunts, mothers, grandmothers, different women who contribute to us. And so it was these different gems, okay, I heard some talking in the background.
Oh, no. My phone went off.
Okay. These the different gems that make us, that build us and make us into a woman, different gems that will empower us to be all that we can be, these different gems, these different quotes or these different people, things that another woman has told you. Because in the book, there's actually 301 different sayings, quotes, Bible verses. There's 301. And the different ones that you've been said, and they're all by women. Like every quote that's in this book is by a woman. Everything that's been said is by a woman. But it's different things that make you up, that make you, that turn to you, that fills your treasure chest. That's the gems. So I got it from that. I wanted these gems to fill her treasure chest, to make her into the wonderful woman I know she'll grow to be.
Right. So what type of feedback, or what I want to say, for those who have read it, you know, because some people are critical. Unfortunately, they are. People are critical. People are sometimes cruel. Sometimes people are, some people are, like, I guess I wouldn't say brutally honest. What type of feedback have you been getting so far from the book? When I ask that, I always want to know the good and the bad, because unfortunately, I get bad reviews or bad feedback, and I'm like, huh? What was this person reading? Did she read my book and mix me up with somebody else? But
right.
on both ends of the scale, what is some of the negative feedback you've gotten versus some of the good feedback, or vice versa?
Actually, so far I've only had good, and everyone knows I accept all opinions, and I've asked everyone, tell me what I was missing, what did I need to add. Everyone is loving the book. They say it's a very positive for all women of all ages.
Right.
They said, you know, it's a wonderful keepsake, because at the end of each chapter, there's an area for you to actually personalize the book, so you can list different things that have meaning to you. So it actually, you can personalize it. But, it, I mean, everyone, I haven't had any bad reviews from anyone thus far,
right.
Which, you know, it just released in May. So I'm sure, you know, I'll have several, you know, like everyone. And no book is perfect. You know, everyone has their own opinion. But so far, I haven't had any bad feedback, anything negative said about the book.
And that's wonderful. And I have one more question before we open up some phone lines. I want to give all my callers another opportunity, because maybe they will call in to talk to you and not to my first guest. Before I move on and take some callers, I want to ask, are you writing anything else? Are you looking to venture into any other genres? Are you writing any other genres besides basically self-help or encouragement? Because when you write novels, versus self-help, you know, I've read some self-help books, and I'm not the one to advise nobody. You know what I'm saying? I stick to what I know. So are you inclined to do any other genres, or this is just what you do? Do you want to write anything else, or are you working in something now?
Yes, actually, I'm working on several projects. Next spring, I have the actual the boys' version because I have sons too. I didn't want them to feel, you know, left out. So I have a book titled Bricks and Mortar for my son, and it'll be along the same lines. It'll be a self-help book. I have a children's book collection that'll be coming out. My son, the five-year-old, Albie, he had several medical issues that we had to deal with, and so it's children's books that's dealing with medical issues, so it can, you know, inform the parent as well as the child what they'll be going through. So when you get to the doctor's office for these different tests and so on, you're not surprised. And eventually, one day, I will write a novel about my life story. It's just, it's so painful. I start writing, and it's just, I hadn't been through so much. So eventually, I'll get to that point where I can complete that novel.
And I'm telling you, you need to do it, because that'll be your therapy. And trust me,
yeah.
Once you get it all out, you'll be
yeah.
great. And it's not from personal experience at all. It's just from prior guests that I've had who have written life stories and traumatic events and things that have happened to them. And they said that once they were done with that book, it was so therapeutic for them that it was worth it. So you need to go ahead and do it, because you, trust me, you might free yourself sooner than later. So
right.
You got to, like they say, you got to work through the pain and just make it happen. It'll be a help. That's the thing. It'll be a help for someone else who might be experiencing or going through or need a way out of something that you already went through. So don't sit on that. I just encourage you not to sit on it, because so many people need a good word, you know. But I don't want to get sentimental. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm going to go ahead and open up area code 832, prefix is 276. Are you calling in with a question, or are you just listening in? Area code 832, prefix 276. You're on live. You have an opportunity.
That's actually not my number, but are y'all talking to me?
I'm not, that's not my number.
I don't know why that number came
up. Yeah, I got like an 832-276 something.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Hi, yes,
it's
I'm
okay.
calling in. This is Brandy, actually. I'm the one that booked the interview for Dorsey. So I'm calling in to support and to tell everybody also about the contest that we have going on for her with her book.
Go right ahead, babe. You're on. Let them know.
Okay. Well, hi, Anna. Hi, Dorsey. And I know
hey.
That there's another person that was on the line earlier, so hello to everybody. We actually have, if you go to the editingcouture.com site, we have a contest going on. You have to follow Dorsey on Twitter, and you have to like her author fan page on Facebook. And the more times that you retweet or repost it and tag in the post, the more entries that you get. And what we're giving away are a bling T-shirt, and we'll post some different pictures so you can see what they look like, an autographed hardback copy of the book, and then a cash prize as well. So we're giving away a gas card. So I'm not going to tell the amount of the gas card, but with the prices of gas now, we can all use a gas card.
Yeah, I don't care if it's $10. $10 going up.
You know?
Exactly.
We're definitely excited about it. My company, we are the ones that actually edited her book and did her book cover and got to go on this whole process with Dorsey. And I'm a huge fan of sayings and different things like that, different things that are inspirational and motivational. So when I got this project, it was something that I was truly, truly excited about. And I suggest, it is listed as a children's book, but it's a book that's so good even for us as adults, you know, and even if we don't have daughters, you know, it's just good for us as women in general, and such a great gift idea, because I heard her say, you know, that it does have, after every chapter, the only way for you to make the book your own and add in, you know, your own things at the end of every chapter. So she worked really, really hard on this book, and it's phenomenal, and it's a great keepsake. So it's definitely a recommend for me.
All right, and Brandy, while I have you on the air, online, for those aspiring authors out there, by you being an editor, please explain to those who are tuning in how important editing is, because a lot of people get their friends, or they friends just because they're an English major doesn't make them an editor. Let them know how beneficial hiring a professional editor is when it comes to their manuscript.
I always tell people that they have to think about some definitions of some words, like comma splice, and do they know what the correct usage of a semicolon is? Do they know when and why punctuation is placed outside of parentheses? Do they know what parenthetical documentation is? How much partial copy?
Wait, I'm sorry, Brandy, you're cutting in and out, babe.
Oh,
I'm sorry, repeat that
now?
Last thing, because you're cutting in and out. We can hear you, but repeat that last statement.
If people know what parenthetical documentation is, and if they know, you know, just how much is something that you can quote, for instance, songs, without actually having to give credit to that author. And if people aren't able to answer those kind of questions for you, then maybe they can proofread it, but they're not an actual editor that's going to go through and make sure that your characters, your plots are developed correctly to make sure, you know, you can change. I saw something funny on Facebook earlier that said, let's eat grandma, you know, and if they didn't put the comment in there, you know, it's either an invitation to actually eat grandma or it's like a come on, let's eat grandma, you know, so... Grammar can save lives. And there's, you know, no such thing as a perfect edit, but when you actually use a professional editor, you're just going to get, it takes so much of the headache off of you. And when I write things, I don't edit them myself because the human brain is going to automatically place words there that we thought we put there. Because we know what we meant to write, you know, and we're, by not having an editor, you know, that's a big thing, too. But right now, readers are tearing people up for semantics and syntax, and it wasn't like that a year ago, but now readers are tearing people up for their grammar usage and for not hiring an editor. And really, to be honest, you know, you're charging $15 or more for a book. How can you expect people to invest in something that you didn't invest in yourself?
You're right. Thank you. So much, Brandy, because that is always my advice to up-and-coming authors is the editing. I do book reviews, and trust me, if I can't make it through the first chapter,
right?
If it's so poorly edited, I just put it down. I can't even give you, I won't even rate a book that's horribly edited because I feel like I want to give you an opportunity. I would personally email that author and say, look, you really need to, the editing is killing your book. Your book can be a great story, but without the proper editing, your friends cannot do it. You cannot do it. I'm sorry. Even like you say, Brandy, even if you are an editor, you cannot. And I'm telling you, I'm lucky now we have a team where we have editors and proofreaders. You know, my editor gets it. She does her thing, gets it back to me. And I get to not only one, but I have three proofreaders. And my proofreaders read those manuscripts, and they X out da-da-da-da, and then it goes back to my editor, and she makes sure we're all on one accord. So that's very, very important, very important.
We do the same thing. And I don't think that people realize that proofreading step is important after the editing because, you know, the more eyes that you have on it, the better. And I always tell people, you know, I'm sure, of course I want you to use me, but if you don't use me, use somebody. You know, it's absolutely worth the investment, absolutely. And I have to give a shout-out, since this is AAMBC Radio, everybody that's listening in, if you're in the New York area, I'll be doing the on-site PR for Tamika Newhouse, who's actually the founder of AAMBC. So we'll be out at BEA. We'll be at the red carpet release on Thursday of He's My Favorite Mistake. We'll be with Karen Canones Miller on Wednesday. So Tamika and I are headed your way, New York, in the morning. So got to give her a shout-out for that as well.
Right. Well, we want to get back real quick to Ms. Dorsey. Ms. Dorsey, we didn't forget about you. We just want to inform some listeners. But I do have another area code that's waiting to talk. I have area code 225. First, the prefix is 335. If I called it out wrong, it might not become a call. It's great for me. So if your area code 225, 335 is the first three digits, okay, they hung up. Not them. Real quick, I'm going to go through these area codes and phone numbers. If you're going to say something, please speak up really quickly. If you're not, I'm going to go ahead and mute you back. Area code 225, 315. If you have something to ask for the author, do you have a question? Okay, moving on. Area code 337, prefix is 309. Are you calling in for the guest or are you just listening in? All righty, moving on. Area code 618. 444 is the prefix. Are you calling in for a question for Ms. Dorsey, or are you just listening in?
I'm calling to support Dorsey. I am very much looking forward to making the book my own for my daughter. I'm excited that Dorsey has made this venture, and I definitely am looking forward to her upcoming book because I also have a son.
Wow. Thank you so much. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Angie Gertis, and I'm calling from California.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Thank you, Angie.
Please share the story, the show with other people and try to tune in more because we introduce a lot of new up-and-coming African-American authors. So definitely don't make this your last time, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Dorsey.
Thank you so much.
All right. We're going to move over again. We got area code 225-937. Can you hear me if you're calling to say something to the author or are you just listening in? We got a lot of 225s tonight. Okay,
yep.
Again, area code 225-806. Are you calling in to speak to the author or are you just listening in? Okay, they're shy. Again, area code 225-337. Are you calling in to speak to the author or are you just listening in? All righty. Okay, no one else is speaking. So we're winding out the show, but we have a couple more questions for you, Ms. Dorsey. First is what's next for you? What should we expect? I know you said you're working on a novel for young men as well. When is that due to come out? And again, repeat the title so those who are listening can make a note of it or keep that in mind.
Yes, the title is Bricks and Mortar for My Son, and it should be released by spring of next year. But we're getting a lot of good feedback for the Gems to Cherish for my daughter. I have a second edition that will actually be coming out on that, and it looks like I'll have to have that completed before the year is over with. So I'll be trying to hurry up and work on that.
Okay. And do you have any upcoming events or any places where we can come out and see you and get to know who you are?
Yes, we actually have a book signing scheduled for Saturday, June 16th at Katie Bakes in Lafayette, Louisiana at 3 p.m.
Okay. All righty. And also your contact information. Do you have a website, Facebook, Twitter? What are your outlets for media? How can people contact you or get to know you or send you an email? What's your information?
Okay, they can follow me on Twitter at author Dorsey B, or they can go on Facebook. I'm all on Facebook. I have a fan page there. They can email me at authordbellinger.com. They can go to my website, authordbellinger. I just said that, authordbellinger.com. The email is authordbellinger@yahoo.com. Any media questions or anything, they can contact Brandy Randolph at editingcouture.com. Did I write that right, Brandy? I think it's Editing Couture. Just find Editing Couture with Brandy Randolph.
Brandy, you on, so confirm that. Make sure it's right.
They'll find her on Facebook. Well, just contact Brandy.
Well, we do thank you so much, Ms. Dorsey, first of all, for being patient and allowing us to spend time with Ms. Sham at the beginning of the hour. And so we do thank you for hanging out with us tonight. And you are welcome, as always, to come back anytime. Just email us. And I'm telling you now, I'm so sorry. I'm going to say it to Brandy because Brandy is the one that's been kind of going back and forth to me. Brandy, I'm working full-time now, and it's not the norm for me. And I don't know how to juggle yet. I have my family, my kids, my husband. Just came from Afghanistan in March, and I'm still trying to transition into that working mother, juggle author, book reviewer, interviewer. I have so many things on my plate. I don't have it down pat yet. So always bear with me. If I answer my emails slow, I'm sorry. I have like 6 or 7 emails I'm working with that's doing different things. But Dorsey, you are welcome to come back at any time. We have something new or you want to talk about something new, you're welcome to come back. We do panel discussions also for authors, and sometimes we talk about topics like self-publishing and what do we not like about Amazon, what do we love about Amazon, just to give you some idea. So you're welcome to come back at any time. So just keep in touch, and we wish you all the success in the world. And Brandy, thank you so much for joining us tonight also. And guys, remember, if you want to listen to the show, it will be archived when we're done, so you can go back and listen to the show. In case you missed any information, you better go back and listen to it and write it down. But definitely check out Ms. Shampreez Bevel and Ms. Dorsey Bellinger. We had a great show. I thank both of my authors for hanging out with me tonight, and I wish them all success in the world. We will be back on Thursday the 6th. So be sure to tune in. We have a couple artists that you're going to get to know that's new. Other than that, you guys have a wonderful night. Oh, real quick, I can't forget. Mm-hmm. Got to give a shout-out to Ms. Tamika Newhouse. She's actually going to New York now. Now I was supposed to be with her on the road, but with my husband being home, it's been hectic. So I've been on a little author hiatus. So I haven't really been traveling on the road. I have to address you guys, so please bear with Miss Anna Black. It's not because I don't care anymore. It's just I have a lot going on, so bear with me. But we will see you guys back here on Thursday night, so be sure to tune in. Share the website with your friends. Let them know to tune in because we have a lot of new, interesting artists coming up, seasoned and newcomers. So definitely tune in and let your friends know. But to all, a good night, and we'll see you back here on Thursday. I'm going to leave you out with some Anthony Hamilton. So y'all guys have a great night. Close.